Amen. You may be seated. And as you do, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and if you don't have a Bible with you, go ahead, raise your hand, and the ushers will get you a Bible, and you can keep that Bible up here. Charles, there's some. And I thought I saw another hand go up. There it is over there. And you guys can keep those Bibles if you so desire. Ephesians chapter 3, to comprehend the love of Christ, part 2. We have been studying Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, but that prayer also applies to us as well, because he says to all the faithful saints. And if you're a believer, you're a saint, and this prayer applies to you, and that's why we need to take it deep to our heart. And Paul's prayer was that we would be able to comprehend the love of Christ. We see that in verses 17 and 18, where it says that Christ may dwell, and that word dwell means to be at home in your hearts through faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in the love, in his love, Christ's love, and that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of that love. So in our last study, we've been looking at the width and the length and the depth and the height of what God's love was all about for us. I encourage you, if you were not here for those studies, to go on our webpage, calvaryelcentro.com, and listen. You can either download it, you can stream it, but listen to it. That prayer that Paul has for us is so critically important for us. Now, today, as we continue in verse 19, we're going to discover that Paul wants us also to know the love of Christ. Look at verse 19, what it says. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So Paul's desire for us is that we would know the love of God. That we would know the love of God. Now, there's two ways that we can know the love of God. One way is through knowledge, studying the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. Get your pen out, underline that verse, for it's a critical verse to know, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth." Did you notice it said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God"? We are to study God's word, to read God's word, for what purpose? To be approved unto God. You know, there's a lot of people that read the Bible for the wrong reason. There are people, and maybe you might fall into this category, some of you read the Bible, maybe you guys, because your wife wants you to. And she says, "What did you read in the Bible today?" And it's almost like you have to give a book report, you think. And you go, "Okay, I've heard that saying, happy wife, happy life. I'll read the Bible, make her happy, and that way I won't get burnt eggs in the morning anymore." And so you read the Bible to please her, to be accepted and approved by her. I've known of some people that actually read the Word of God because their boss is a Christian, thinking that if I read the Bible and he hears that I read the Bible and I maybe might say something about it a little bit, oh, maybe I'll get the promotion instead of that other guy. And they read it for the wrong reason. Some people read the Bible because they want to have that young girl that sits in that same chair every week find out that I'm reading my Bible, and that way maybe I could have my dreams come true and she can be my girlfriend. Well, let me tell you, if you're reading the Bible to get her to be your dreams come true, your dream's going to be a nightmare. You're reading the Word of God for the wrong reason. You know that one day we are going to go into the presence of God. We're going to look at Him straight in his face. And he's either going to say basically, I approve you, enter thou in, good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, well, you accepted me. That's about it. Come on in and learn about me now. How tragic that would be, wouldn't it? We're here and now we can live and be approved by God. We're accepted. I'm not talking about accepted by God. I'm talking about approved, being pleased by God. What does Revelation 4:11 say? That we were created to bring him pleasure. And when we read his word and study his word, we are bringing him pleasure. Notice it says, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. A workman. If you sign on to a job, there are tools that you use in that job. And you use those tools properly, and you're able to do a good job. When your tools aren't proper, you have a hard time. I lent my skills out to somebody. Came back to me. I went ahead and cut a 2x4, and I took it, and it should have just cut it like butter. But I think they were cutting concrete with it. Splinters were flying all over the place. Well, that tool, that blade, was ruined. And I couldn't do a good job on that. Thank goodness that 2x4 is now hidden up in the attic where no one will ever see it to hold a light that's going to go over the island in our kitchen. But when you have a sharp blade that I have on it now, whew, it's like butter. It just goes right through it. God gives us tools. Well, what are those tools? Study to find those tools in the Word of God. Learn how to use it. And then don't be ashamed of it. How many people, Christians, are ashamed of being a Christian? Not me. Really? How do you respond to people at work? Does everybody at work know that you're a Christian? Everybody. Or are you one of those secret agent Christians? You've been there 5 years, and finally you find out someone's a Christian, and they go, you're a Christian? I never knew that for 5 years. You've been here and never. I, golly, how come? Is that how we are? Have our lights so dimmed? Where the scripture says, let your light so shine. Let your light shine. Are our lights shining? Well, a workman will not be ashamed. He'll be blessed and honored to be a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a great blessing and honor it is to be. And then it says, rightfully dividing the word of truth. How can you rightfully divide the word of truth unless you know the word of truth? And yet so many people don't study. You know, I am blessed that you are here today. It's so important that we study together corporately so that we today, right now, the message that God has for us, he has ordained that for us so that we can move in the same direction together, that we learn together, that we grow together, that we move together. But sometimes there's other things that happen when we come together that we may not even realize the impact of it for years to come. Marcy and I just flew in from Washington, D.C. last night, where we were at the Watchman on the Wall pastors conference back there. And one of the pastors that shared with us was Josh McDowell. Just lost his wife. And it's amazing how God has people come into your life. The very first session, Marcy sat here, I sat here around this round table, and this gentleman by the name of Bob sat here. And we begin to talk. And Bob, you know, after the simple little conversations of, you know, where you're from, et cetera, et cetera. He said, my wife just died about 3 days ago. And I was able to sit there and share with him. And on Tuesday, I promised him that I would and that you would be in prayer as he's going to have a part of that funeral service. But his eyes were watering up and tearing up. And I reached over and got a napkin and gave it to him, and he was able to wipe his eyes. As I just loved on him and told him it was okay to cry. That didn't offend God. Those are emotions that we have. There's nothing wrong. And I shared with him out of Ecclesiastic that there's a time to cry. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. Time to dance. And it's okay to mourn when you lose somebody like that. He says, I've got to share some things and I don't know really what to share. And I took him over because he was explaining his wonderful wife. And I took him over to Philippians 1 and shared the verses with him about Philippians 1, where Paul was ready to die. And he said that he was torn between the two things, to stay and be a benefit to those that would remain, and for him to stay with them, or to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. And you can tell your friends that will be there and family members, she is truly in a far better place because she's in the presence of God. And we talked about it for a few moments, and he leaned over and he says, there are no accidents in the kingdom of God. God had me sit next to you for just these words today. How many people does God have come sit next to you, but we're afraid to talk about the love of Christ with them? Oh, but Pete, that was in a pastor's conference. You've got to talk about God there. Then you don't know me. I don't care if I was in Denny's and he would come sit next to me. And if something like that was said, the same conversation would have taken place. Because I'm no different in church or at a pastor's conference or out in the community. Are you? Are you different here than you are out there? My prayer is that you're not. My prayer is that you're the same. And there's so much benefits that happen that when we do come together, as Josh McDowell began to explain about social, secular statistics, not by Christian groups, but they found out that if people would come to church 2 times a month with a father and a mother and their children, that this percentage of the kids would not turn their back away from God when they grew older. And then he said, but if they would go 4 times a month, the percentage went from here to here, leaps and bounds above, because the kids were rooted and grounded and they learned to become workmen, needing not be ashamed. But then there was another dynamic, and that's what we're praying and fasting about tomorrow, and I hope that you pray and fast about it for the rest of your life. They found that fathers who had good relationships with their children, good spiritual relationships, that it went from here when father and mother brought their kids 4 times a week, but when the fathers had good relationships, that the statistics went up to here, this high. The kids learned the church and a relationship with God was important. And then when the fathers had a good relationship and they had a personal relationship with the living God, then the children saw the Father, the Heavenly Father, in them. And they desired that. And that percentage went sky high. Fathers, it is so critical that we have a good relationship with our children. It is so important. And that's why it's so important that we study the Word of God. It's so important that we have our personal devotions, and you can have all kinds of devotions you want. We even provide you with this one right here. It's right in front of your chair. And I'm surprised that not every single one of these is gone as soon as they go out. But they're not. Days of praise. Days of praise. And, you know, you have a, you know, for an example, Monday, July 15, no darkness at all. And it says, in him there is no darkness at all, 1 John 1:5. So you have a Bible verse. And if I was you, I'd read the whole chapter. And then you read through a little devotion. And a lot of people, they think, well, you know what? I go ahead and I have that little book. I have my little devotion. And I take it into the throne room. I take it into the bathroom. I want to be alone with Jesus, who's my best friend. Do any of you people realize what you do in your throne room? Do you really focus on the Lord in your throne room? There's noises coming out of the throne room, but I don't think they're noises of praise. And you may not be focusing on the King of Kings while you're in there, but he's my best friend. Really? How many of you today who have a best friend here on earth say, hey, would you come in while I do my duty in the throne room so we can have some fellowship? Anybody? If you did, that's a pretty stinky relationship. Why don't you find a place and go out? A quiet place. Oh, I do have a quiet place. First thing in the morning, I have my quiet time with the Lord. That is phenomenal, as long as you are not meditating. Bed-a-tating. If you're meditating on the Word of God, that's fine. Meditating, you're in trouble, because you won't remember anything that you were supposed to be having during that time. It's so important that we have that personal, intimate time with God, because that's when God speaks to us privately, intimately. And what a wonderful time that is. It's so important that we, you know, go to Bible study groups. Groups that we can afterwards sit and talk about it. Or even during it, sit and talk about the questions you might have about the Word of God. You grow and you begin to learn in it. It's also important to know God's love and to who he is to read, listen to me, good books about the Word of God, good commentaries. There are not good books out there, and you need to be careful on what you read. You need to read good books sometimes on certain subject matters. I'm reading one right now. It happens to be on Watchmen on the wall. Not because of the conference, I just happened to start reading it before we went, and it had the same concept about how important it is to be watchmen and to watch over, not just for me as a pastor, to watch over this flock and to make sure that no heresy comes sneaking in, and when it does, how to deal with it, that I need to deal with it, I should say. And sometimes that happens, and I do deal with it, but I don't deal with it openly and do all of that. I go take care of it and protect the sheep. Well, dads, you're the watchman of your house. Are you protecting it, or are you going, hey, I'm the breadwinner, I'll let mom do that? No. And you're thinking, he's already hammering the fathers. Is this a hammer Father Day? No, that might come on Father's Day. I don't know about that one yet. But you're the watchman. That's your responsibility. God has placed you in that position. And it's important that you know. It's important that you know who your kids are hanging out with, what they're doing, when they're doing, where they're going, what they're watching, what they're reading, what they're listening to. Well, I can't understand any of the lyrics of their songs. Well, you're the dad. You better know what's screaming in their ears. Well, I can't stand that yelling music. You know what? I'd rather have my kids listen to yelling music that has lyrics about Jesus Christ than some simple little mellow music that talks about sex or drugs or alcohol. You hear what I'm saying? You need to get the lyrics of the words and listen to them. You're the watchman. Don't delegate that to their mother. You're the watchman. And it's so important that we do that and listen. So the first way that we can learn the knowledge of God is by studying the Word of God, learning what these principles are all about. The second way to learn the love of God is through experience. Experience is a wonderful, wonderful teacher. When I was a baby Christian, there was the two first Greek words I learned. One was Maranatha, But I first thought, driving up to that church the first day before I got saved, man, what kind of church is this? Marijuana? The Lord cometh? And then finally someone said, that's not marijuana, that's Maranatha. I go, well, what? They're smoking Maranatha, what is that? And the guy just said, oh, it's a Greek word that means the Lord cometh. That's how I learned that word. And then in a Bible study one day, they began to teach about knowledge, going through the scriptures. And they came and said, this knowledge in the Greek is called gnoskos. And it's knowledge by experience. You see, knowledge by experience is so important. You can read all the books in the world you want about surfing. You can get an encyclopedia on surfing. You can listen to people experience how they've surfed in the past. You can even go get yourself a surfboard and a wetsuit, and you can go ahead and just sit on the shoreline and look like a surfer. You look really cool. Man, look at that. A surfer dude in a wetsuit, in a real board. He must be a surfer. Well, it's not until you paddle out. And yeah, it takes some time to paddle out. It takes some time to learn how to be balanced and how to balance yourself on the board, because if you paddle with your body way too back, your board looks like this, and everyone knows they got to stay away from you because you're going to run over them. And if you paddle with your weight way too front, your nose is going to go into the water, and the water is going to go in your face. But you get that perfect balance. When you get that down, and pretty soon you learn how to paddle into a wave, and you catch that wave, and you drop down, and you do that bottom turn. You just, on a longboard, you just push it down, and with your other leg, you pull it across, and you just whip up till you come to the face of that wave, and just the sweet spot, and then you just begin to work it. And if you go too far, you cut back, and you turn it all the way around, and come back in again, and you get in that sweet spot. You can walk up on the board, you can hang five, or you can do all kinds of things with it. And it's just glorious when you're able to do that. Sometimes the wave will crash over you and you're locked into the tube. I still remember at Imperial Beach when I dropped down on this left and it was a right. The pier was over here, and so I dropped in and I went down and I could see that the wave started curling over me, and I began to see it even curl further and further, and I just ducked down underneath of it, and then I saw the whole thing just close in. But there was a second of silence that I still haven't forgotten. And then it crashed on me. But when you have a nice shoulder and you go through your various things, and all of a sudden you come to the end and you just want to have a nice, sweet, enjoyable, nice, friendly little kick out. You are so far behind. That's paddle out. That's a bottom turn. Let's go here. That's where you're lining up. Now you want to do a kick out. It was supposed to be timed just right. I can speak from experience about that. Why? Because I have experienced it personally. Let me give you one maybe you can relate to a little bit better. Relationships. Now, when I met Marcy, it didn't take long for me to fall head over heels in love with her. And the reason for that is because I began to pray not for a wife, I began to pray daily for my wife. I knew that the Lord said I'd be married one day. Thus, I knew that she would be alive. I did not know that if I had invited her to my senior prom when I was in 12th grade, that I would be taking a third grader to the prom. I didn't know that. But I knew that God would have me marry. And so I began to pray for her faithfully, diligently, every single day. So when I met her, it didn't take long at all that I realized that this was the one. Within 3 days, I knew that this was the one. Within a month, I asked her to marry me. Within 3 months, we were married. And I always said, if my kids did that, I'd shoot them. But if my kids did it the way I did it, I wouldn't shoot them, honestly. That day that I married her, sure, I was nervous because, you know, I'm entering into new waters. But I could not love her more that day than I did that day. And I thought that was the height of love. But you know what I learned? I learned that wasn't true. We've been married now, come November 26, 36 years. Three kids later, one granddaughter, and three granddogs. And guess what? I can honestly say I love her more today than I loved her that day I said I do. Why is that? You see, I have grown with her, and we have grown together, and there's two reasons I can say I love her more. It's because of knowledge and experience. Knowledge is just getting to know her. Getting to know her, spending time with her, studying her, finding the things she likes and the things she doesn't like. You know, Marcy is always beautiful. Would you agree with me on that? She goes out in public and she's a fox. She just really is. She's beautiful, she dresses just right, she's always color coordinated. I never have to worry about her having the wrong color on, matching some other color. I don't even question it. I don't even think about it because she is phenomenal in that. Not like me. I walk in and say, hey, does this match? And she smiles and goes, no. I'm lucky if I can even tell the difference between navy blue socks and black socks. I'm just not color coordinated. I just can't do it. But Peachy looks so nice. She dresses me. She pulls it out, says, you're going to wear this and this and this. And I know that it all matches because that's the way she is. And she has beautiful taste in jewelry. It always matches. Everything's perfect. But I can honestly say this. If I walked up to her and said, honey, I want to buy you, first of all, this would never happen, but if I went up to her and said, honey, I want to buy you a 5-carat perfect diamond, would you like that? I know what she would say. She would say, well, honey, that's sweet of you, but no, I'd rather spend some time in the backyard pulling weeds or planting flowers. She would much rather spend time alone with me. And so I've learned that if I'm exhausted after all day long, hard day work, and just spent, whether I want to or not, I always wake up early. I know some people say it's old age, and probably it's true. I just can't sleep in, and so I'm up early. And after a long day of work, I'll come home, and sometimes she'll say, you know, Phoebe didn't get much exercise today. You want to go for a walk with us? Down deep, I go, no! And I say, honey, I'd love to. I'll go. Why? Because I know her. I know her likes. I know her dislikes. And she just likes spending time with me. I haven't figured out why she likes that, but I know she does. And therefore, I'm willing to do that. Now, the knowledge is one, but having experienced life with her is another one. Maybe you can relate to this. In all marriages, there's those mountaintop experiences. There's always those wonderful times of memories that things take place in our life. But also there's those deep valleys of life that life throws at us. Those things that Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. You know what I mean? You ever experienced a valley of life? Those deep things that, wow, where did this thing come from? But it's just one of those things that Jesus said is going to happen to us. Wow, I never dreamed growing up I'd have cancer. I never dreamed growing up. You know, John, did you ever dream growing up that you were going to have brain surgery? No, we never think about that stuff. But all of a sudden it happens. But when you go through those things, with the person that you love, it is at those times that you really get to see what that person is like. You really get to experience them. And it's through these two things that I can grasp who she is and her love for me. And I can say honestly that I am blown away to have a gift like her. Why? Because she loves me. Even though there's times I may fail, and I have, just like some of you guys have with your wife. But you know what? She comes around and she forgives me. There's times I've been insensitive. Not you, Pete. Yes, me. I've been insensitive to her, and she endures. And I ask for forgiveness. She forgives. I haven't been the best leader at times because I get wrapped up in other things, and she's patient with me. And I can honestly say she is a fantastic wife and a phenomenal mother. And how can I personally say that? It's because I have first-hand experience watching her go through that. And you know what? The same thing is true of God with us. The Lord, at times, I don't know about you, but at times I've failed God. And yet God has still been faithful to me. He's been faithful to His word and keeping it. Why is that? Because God says that He honors His word above His name. If God honors His word above His name, should we not get to know what that word is so that we can honor Him as well? God has always been faithful. I have seen God carry me through situations in life. And every time that happens, my love grows deeper and deeper and deeper with Him when I experience those things that go on in life. And I hope that you're relating with this, because God wants you to better comprehend His love. Why? Now, if you have faded away, come back right now, because this is one of the essence of this message. If you can comprehend His love, then you're going to be able to trust Him with your life. So, what does that mean? We need to experience more of Him. How do we experience more of Him? We experience more of Him by those times we read the Word, by the time we're in Bible studies, by the time we're in Bible groups, when we read different things about the Word of God. We grow in Him. We learn of Him. And then we experience Him when we have that gnosis knowledge, because we've walked through it. We've walked through it. And we learn to be able to trust God. You know, God loves the church so much, and He is always there with us. But what you need to realize is that God loves you that much too. Now, some of you might be sitting here saying, well, I don't deserve it. Well, let me honestly say to you, you're right. You don't deserve it. We're sinners. But God loves us anyway. He loved us when we were sinners and died for us. He didn't want us to clean our act up and then accept Him. No. He said, accept me and I'll clean you up. I'll make you into what I want you to be. But come and seek me and experience my love. And some of you might be saying, but I don't feel His love. Well, don't blame God on that one. That's your fault. Okay? Pete, you're being mean to us today. No, I'm being honest with you today. Well, what do you mean then it's my fault? Well, you're not being a doer of the Word of God. If you don't feel the peace of God, you're not being a doer of the Word of God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. When you're anxious and you're nervous and you're frustrated about things and you're worried about things, you will not feel the peace of God. Guaranteed. I'm just telling you straight up. But if you do what He says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known unto God. So you pray, you worship Him, you lay out your burdens to Him, you begin to thank Him for them sincerely. Not popcorn prayers. then all of a sudden, verse 7 transpires in your life. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you're not feeling the peace and the love of God, it's because you're not doing the Word of God. It's so important. You think, Pete, you're being mean to us. No, Romaine used to be mean. He was the assistant pastor to Pastor Chuck. People would come in to talk to him about a problem they have in his life. And he would say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no. Get out of here. And don't you dare waste my time until you pray about it. You go pray about it and then come back and talk to me. He scared him right into prayer. So I'm not being mean to you, I'm being nice and honest and telling you the truth. Be a doer of the Word of God, because the more I understand the love of Christ and His love for me, the more I'm going to share that love with others. The more I'm going to reflect His love to others. And boy, I tell you, we need to do that. And fathers, you need to do that in the house. That's the number one place of ministry that we have in our life, is in the house. And Father, you set the tone for that. I had to learn that the hard way. And I'll be transparent with you today. Because remember I told you experience is the best lesson? One day Marcy told me, because I would come home from work, and the kids would be there, and kids are little kids, and they're what little kids do. They just make a mess and do stuff, and I'd start getting on them right away. And Marcy pulled me aside one day and says, you know what? The kids are happy and joyful. And just really enjoying themselves until you walk in the door. And you start barking at them. And you start coming down on them. Then they get afraid. This isn't a happy house when you do that. It was one of those revelation moments. So from then on, I tried my hardest that when I would come home, I'd walk in the door and go, Papa's home! And after a while, instead of coming up wondering if they were going to get scolded, they would come up and they would love on me, and I'd get on the ground with them, I'd play with them, and if there was a mess with the toys and stuff, I'd say, come on, let's go pick them up together, and we'd pick them up. And I needed a change. Was I perfect in that always? No. But I realized that I needed a change. And I needed to change so that the house environment would be the same. You see, we say we're Christians, but are we Christians in the house? Are we Christians in the community, the way we conduct business in the community? Just this last week, I had something happen to us. Our water treatment plant has been having this particular area that has been causing problems. And the fellow by the name of Rocky, who services it and takes care of it, says that this particular thing that does this particular thing, it's been acting up for quite a while. I've been, you know, kind of nursing it, trying to get it to last as long as it can because it's expensive. And I said, well, we need to get one. And a while back, I just said to him, well, go ahead, let's bite the bullet. We'll have to get it. And he tried to nurse it, and then something else happened, and we ran out of water, actually, 2 weeks ago to the building, to everything. And we went and he came out and serviced it, got it working again. And I was talking to him on the phone, and he said, I think we really need to get it now. And I said, well, Rocky, I mentioned it to you before. Go ahead and get it. And he goes, I know, but I just tried to make it last a little longer. And I said, well, go ahead and get it. And Rocky, I trust you. I believe that you're just going to, you know, shop around. You're going to get the best price for us. And I trust you. So go ahead and get it. And there was a long pause on the phone that I thought was kind of funny. And then he said, I got to tell you something. With my regular customers, I'll buy a piece of equipment and I'll mark it up. But with you, Pete, at the church over there, if I just break even, I'm happy. And I go, well, Rocky, I'm not asking you to do that. And he goes, that's exactly right. You have never tried to Jew me down or talk me down and manipulate me on anything. You have always said, go ahead and get it. And because of that, I have chosen to give it to you at cost. And then there was another awkward long sound or silence. And then he said, and sadly, Pete, I have to be honest with you. There's a lot of people in your position that I do business with. And they don't act that way. They try to manipulate me. They try to work me. And they try to get me to virtually give everything to them for nothing. And to be honest, that stinks. And I said, Rocky, I've never tried to do that with you. And he goes, I know. And that's why I'll continue to give it to you at my cost. Because you're doing it the right way. You know what he's saying to me? He's saying, Pete, you're taking Christianity and you're applying it in your business and how you conduct yourself with other people. Do we do that? Do we do that in all the aspects of our lives? Are you telling me, Pete, that I'm supposed to go on to a car dealership and not try to negotiate? Heck no, they want you to do all of that stuff. You can negotiate. You can go to a swap meet and try and, you know, it's 50 cents. Will you take 45 cents? You can do that. That's part of the game. It's part of the fun. But when it comes down, are you doing it in such a way in the rest of your life, are you taking your Christianity that is here on Sunday and are you taking it tomorrow on Monday into your mission field and are you living your faith in the things you do? Or are you being a Christian here and when you go out and you leave, it's a whole different story. You go down to the car dealership and what do? You buy the most expensive car with all the bells and all the whistles on it, everything. Oh, and I got a good deal too because they gave me this for this package and I got a breakdown and oh, it's just great. I love the car. If you can afford that, God bless you. There's no problems with that. But when you go out there to buy that fancy car so your friends can see you driving a fancy car and yet you can't pay your electric bill, there's a problem with that. You're not living your Christian life the way you should live your Christian life. We need to live within the areas that God has called us and placed us in. Can we better ourselves? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with trying to improve and better yourself. But are you taking what you believe and what you proclaim to believe in the Word of God and taking it into your home and taking it into the community and taking it into your workplace and being all that God wants you to be? Because when you do that, then what you've done is you begin to reflect Jesus. And we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're not supposed to be a Christian holy little club that we come and we have our potlucks and we do this and we do that. And we have our fun and there's nothing wrong with potlucks. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that was lame. Amen? Potlucks are great as long as you don't knock the little old lady down to get that last piece of chocolate pie. You know, you got to be polite at potlucks too. But there's nothing wrong with having that time of fellowship and enjoy and going fishing or going shopping within your realm of means and all. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But we need to reflect Jesus in whatever we do. And when we don't, we need to say, I'm sorry. And get over it and move on and be what God wants us to be because we are Christ. You know that there are some people that will never read the Bible except for looking at you. So what are you giving them in your life? Are you giving them the Old Testament legalism? You giving them the wacky-wacky swinging from chandeliers? Or are you giving them the reflection of Jesus' love in your life? And who he is and how much he means to you. It's so important that we do that, and yet on our own we cannot do that. And that's why Paul said here in verse 19 where he says, and I want you to know all of this. In other words, all the things that I've shared with you from verse 1, chapter 1, all the way up to here in this prayer, I want you to know all of this so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That word filled is an interesting word in the Greek. It's the same one that Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled is a Greek word that means to make to the full, to fill all the way up. That is, to fill to the full, fill to the top, fill to the brim, to fill to abound, to fill to overflow. That's what Paul's saying. He wants us to experience with God. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about total dominance. We need to be dominated by God's love, by God's Holy Spirit, by God Himself. But sadly, there are many people who are simply satisfied with a little sprinkling of the Holy Spirit once in a while, and yet they will still spend the time to fill themselves up with all the things of the world. And you know what the things of the world, what do they do so often? They pull you away from the things of the Lord. The things of the world can pull you away from the things of the Lord. Does that mean that we need to become Amish? Dress like the Amish? No. We just need to have our priorities in order. We need to be able to say that, you know, my life is okay with Jesus. I'm right with Jesus. I love Jesus. I've prayed about this. I have permission to do this. But when we just jump out there and do things without thinking or asking God and not including Him in these things, we find ourselves not being dominated by the glory of God, but we're being dominated by things of the world. What does dominance mean? It just simply means somebody is totally dominated by something. A person that's filled with rage is totally dominated by harmful emotions. A person who is filled with happiness is dominated by joy. Oh, it didn't come out as cute as the internet. She's such a sweet little girl. She got such a smile on her face. And I thought about a daddy coming to that home and showing her the love of Jesus and filling her with the joy of the Lord. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. We need to be totally dominated by God. I like how some of the brothers here say, and I think, John, you started it, I am addicted to you, Lord. What's that saying? I want more and more and more of you. Now, I'm not going to sing you the song and ruin your Sunday, but there was a song when I first became a Christian that talked about, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of His great love, more than ever before. And it goes on and talks about the characteristics of God. And it ends off like this. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's good theology. In that simple song, that's solid theology. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Oh, give yourself more to God, and you'll be dominated by God. So people ask me, why are devotions and fellowship and church so important? Well, if you're truly in devotions the right way, if you're truly in fellowship with the right way, if you're truly coming to church for the right reasons, I want you to stop and think about this. If there was ever anyone filled with the fullness of God who walked the face of this earth, was it not Jesus? The scriptures tell us that in Colossians 1:19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in Him, that's in Jesus, all the fullness of God should dwell. So when Paul prayed that we might be filled with all of God's fullness, you know what he was praying? That in every aspect of our life, Jesus would encompass it. In our character. I know you think I'm a character, but that's not the character I'm talking about. In our character, you know when your true character shines forth? When you're alone and no one else is around. That's who you really are. Is Jesus reflected in that? In our conduct, here in church, yes, but when we leave these walls, you know, it's like a Christian Jekyll and Hyde sometimes. In church, everyone's holy, brother, sister, oh, amen, God loves you, bro. And out the door, you know, you don't care if you run over the little old lady. You know, you're number one. And all these other things, your character, does it demonstrate and reflect God's love? You know, guys, when you're at the grocery store and you see a lady walk up You know what I love to do? I love to kind of hurry up so she thinks I'm going to cut in front of her. And then I open the door and I go, there you go, ma'am. And sometimes, you know, sometimes they won't say anything. They'll just walk by them, not even say a word. You say, well, thank you, Jesus. I did it for you, not her. Rude person. Anyway. See, so even in your rejection, you have to be Christian. Sometimes they'll say thank you, and you go ahead and you just say you're welcome. But I've occasionally had some people say, you don't need to open the door for me. I can open my own door. And I just say, I didn't open it for you. I opened it because I felt it was the right thing to do. God bless you. Have a good day. How are they going to do that? Well, they might take their shoe off and hit you. But, you know, they can't fight against that. What's your conduct like? You know, is it really what it's supposed to be? When you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off, are you going to turn into a Christian Tasmanian devil and go get that person? Or are you going to pray for that person that they don't ruin somebody else's life and cause problems in other people's lives? Conduct. In our conversation around here, it's good. But how about in the world? You use swear words? You cuss? Your conversation. Does it reflect how you would talk if Jesus was standing right next to you? Oh, excuse me, did I forget to tell you that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee? He is standing right next to you. He's always there. So our conduct is important. You say you're a Christian, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But at work, are you going up? Hey, bud, can I bum a cigarette? And you sit there. And smoke's coming out of your face and your nose, and it should be coming out of your ears. Are you saying, you know, I'm a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I mean, are you who you are? And stop and think, maybe that's who you really are. And maybe you need to come over here and be who God wants you to be and represent Him the right way. So, are we living like Christ? Are we dominated by Jesus? You see, Jesus was totally dominated by His Father's will to do His heart, to fulfill the plan of redemption that He had for Him. And that's what He was all about. That's what His focus was, even to the point of death. And all He's asking us to do is to draw near to Him, to give up some of our flesh. You know, we have fasting on Mondays. I mean, if you can't do it on Monday, you're not supposed to do it on another day. It's called a discipline. But some people don't ever fast. And I heard Marcy say it at the women's study. Ladies, it's only food. And if you can't fast, could it be that food is one of your little gods with a little G? Do I have permission to tell you what I did with you, Lou? Okay, I got permission. We had to run up to Long Beach, and it was on a Monday. And so I asked him in the morning, I said, well, you want to go through Del Taco, get something to eat? No, we need to get on the road. I go, okay. He goes, are you going to fast today, Pete? I go, yeah. And he goes, wow, I don't know if I can. I go, Lou, if you really wanted to, you could. But anytime you want to get something, we'll pull over and get you something. I'm not going to put what God's put on my heart onto him. And so, I'm getting hungry. I go, well, we can pull over. Just let me know when you want to pull over. And kept driving, got up there, did our business, turned around. Kept driving. Man, I'm getting hungry. And I said, well, you can just go ahead and pray. That's what fasting's all about if you want. Well, okay. I said, you want me to stop at this place? No. That's not the kind of food I'm thinking of. Make a long story short, It went all day long. And we're now at, well, I forget, 3, 4, or 5 o'clock. And he goes, I haven't eaten. And I looked over and I said, see, you can fast. And then we pulled into a restaurant so we wouldn't have to have our wives make us, you know, meals when we got home. And he had a big meal. But I said, you know what? And I did too. And I said, you know what? You can fast if you want to. And all of you folks, you know what? You can fast if you really want to. Some of you might say, well, I'm on medication and I can't. And I say, well, great, then fast something else. But you can do it. By the way, is fasting something we have to do? I don't know. Let me ask you this question. What did Jesus say? If you fast or when you fast? You don't even know that, some of you, do you? The Word of God, Jesus said, when you fast, fast after this manner. Wash your face, clean yourself up, basically comb your hair. Don't look like the Pharisees that are all, oh, I'm fasting today. There's times I fast in here and someone will bring in a plate of cookies into my office. One of the gals brought it in and said, here, before everyone else gets it, you want some? I didn't call her a devil. I just said, no, thank you. And she goes, oh, I forgot you're fasting today. Don't make a big deal out of it. You just say, no, thank you. But you spend that time in prayer. But my stomach growls. That's an alarm clock to pray. An alarm clock to pray? Yeah, you set an alarm clock to wake up, right? It has its purpose. When you fast, your stomach's going to growl for the first 3 days, and you'll be real hungry. And then after that, you won't be hungry, and you got to remember to pray. But for those first 3 days, whenever it growls, pray for this thing. Pray right now. And you know what? There are times that you'll be thinking of something, and all of a sudden somebody you haven't thought about for years will pop into your head, and you know what? It could simply be that God's saying, they're in trouble, and they need your prayers right now. And you're alert to that because you're not thinking about a double Mac. You're not thinking about Farmer's Boy barbecue salad. You're not thinking about the Sonic deal you get to on your cell phone text to you. You don't know about that one? Let me tell you, drive through and you'll see it right there. You punch it in and Sonic will send you the deals on what they're offering. I've had it sent to me almost all the time. How often do I go in there? Not very often. But they'll send you deals. Farmer boys will send you deals to go in there and go and get the deal, you know, 2 for 1, whatever. But you know what? If your stomach's growling when you're fasting, God wants you to pray. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. Hey, if you experience all of God in your life, I think Paul in verse 20 and 21 was anticipating people were thinking that. I can't do this. I can't do this. It's impossible. Really? Let's look at verse 20 and 21 where it says, now to him, capital H, God, who is able, say that with me, who is able, gosh. You guys have been put to sleep all service today. Now to him who is able, who is what?
Able.
Is God able?
Yes.
What's he able to do? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. You know what the Greek word for all is? All. Inclusive, everything. Do all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us? That's not us. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God's love. That's the power that works within us. Now to him who is able, because Paul was anticipating people thinking it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Anything. All things are possible through Christ Jesus our Lord, the scripture says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations. That's us forever and ever. Amen. Is God able? Is God able?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then may I suggest that it's one thing, it's awesome to say it, but may I suggest that we live it if we believe it, that it becomes part of our nature, all of our nature, that we are filled with God and filled with the love of God, and that we know that nothing is impossible through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what God wants. In our next study, we'll look deeper at verse 20 and 21, because nothing is impossible with Him. Because without these things, without the things that Paul has taught us, in chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through the end, without knowing these things, without having all that God has done for us deep within our hearts, we will never be able to fulfill chapters 4 and through 6, where it tells us how we should live our life out, how we should be doers of the Word of God. Now, I know that I have taken my time and I have gone deep through these first three chapters. It's taken us months to get through this. Why? Why would I want to do that? Because I want you to have a deep understanding of all that God has done for us from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 3, verse 21. Because when you have that and you're filled with that knowledge, then when you come to chapter 4 and you begin to walk through these things, you're going to realize it's not by my might nor by my power, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. It's by the one that all things are possible, above and beyond anything that I think or ask in any way. God will be able to complete this work in me. And I have confidence and believe what God has done for me. So now what happens when we get to chapters 4 through 6 and we begin to look at these things? We come to that point where we're able to say, God, I get to do these things. I'm so thankful that you love me. I'm so blessed and honored that you love me. Thank you. Do you have to come to church? No. Do you get to come to church? It's a privilege, isn't it? Let's make it a priority along with the privilege. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.